Silverback Chronicles podcast. It's your boy Big H. I got my brother Dre.
Yo, what's good?
What's up, bro?
Chilling.
Triple C.
Yo.
What's good, bro?
Maintain the chilling,
bro. All day, every day. People, we love you. We appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep working hard. Tell a friend to tell a friend. The boys is always here. We not going nowhere. Season 5. What's good? Listen, with no further ado, we're going to get right into it. We got a special guest tonight. Our sister Tania is in the building. What's up, baby?
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are y'all?
We appreciate you coming.
Well, I appreciate
you. Yeah, of course.
It means everything.
It was different. I was like, oh, a podcast. And I was like, oh, I'm nervous.
Yeah?
You ever done a podcast before?
No.
Okay. So this is your first one?
Yes.
Dope.
Yes. Welcome. But you do talk, right?
I do.
You hold conversations with your friends and people in general.
Let's do this.
That's all it is.
Let's do it.
I love it.
So, world, here we are. Miss Tania is the best. Now, Tania, please let everybody know what you do for a living, please.
Oh, my goodness. Do I really have to?
The world want to know.
So, my name is Tania. I am the 911 director for the city of Baltimore.
Oh, she said director.
Yeah.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, because you called me a supervisor.
I did. Ooh.
So I'm gonna tell you this. I never made supervisor. I was like first level of supervision, which is what we call lead, lead operator. From that, I jumped from supervisor to become the manager. So I started supervising the one that supervised me.
The boss of the boss.
And then that led me to being a director.
So how much time do you have in this?
22 years.
Wow.
I just made 22 in January.
That's amazing.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. It means everything.
As a director of 911, like, what does that entail? Like,
honestly, like, this is the best part of the job, I think, because I'm here. I started out as a 911 call taker.
So that's just like people know. Why 911 for you?
You want the truth?
I want the truth. Why the job to begin with?
Because I had two kids at home when I was pregnant, and I needed a job with benefits.
Mm.
So my mother actually got the application for herself, but when she found out I was pregnant, she was like, no, here, you need it. You need it more than me. So I filled it out and took the tests and the interviews and everything, and I got hired. And I was like, that's not something I considered doing. But prior to that, I actually was an explorer.
Oh, you were a police explorer.
Yep, in Eastern District with Baltimore Police Department.
Get out of here.
Yep.
So you was on your way to be a cop?
Nope.
Oh, you just did the Explorer?
Yep, I just did the Explorer program.
Okay.
It was something my mother was like, hey, get into this. And I was like, okay. So I was a part of the Explorer program. And it was good just to see the ins, the outs, the odds, you know, the 10 codes, the uniform. But it wasn't something that I actually really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when I, like I said, when I got pregnant with that third one, she was like, uh-uh. And I was like, I was only 20. And she was like, nah, you need some benefits.
Mm.
And I was like, really? She was like, yeah, and I filled it out. And
boom.
And from there, I just kept going. I just kept moving up. So, yeah.
What was that experience like on your first call dealing with somebody or shooting or just trying to talk people through the process of them hurt, injured, and need help? What was that experience like for you on the other side?
So in all reality, when you actually take that first call, because we wear headsets, so when the call comes in, you hear buzz.
Mm.
It's like you're ready to shit your pants. Like, you know how you on a roller coaster and you get ready to hit that drop?
Yeah.
And you feel it in your stomach? Because you're like, I don't know what I'm going to get. So, like, I could see if it was like, oh, yeah, you nuts, you got a shooting. Oh, yeah, you got someone that's non-breathing. No, it wasn't like that. It was whatever comes in your ear, you have to handle it, and you have to trust whatever you was trained to do.
Wow.
It's gonna work.
You gotta utilize those skills instantaneously.
Yes. So I remember the first Signal 13 I got.
And for the people that don't know, what's a Signal 13?
When an officer need assistance. I remember the first Signal 13 that I got. I was 21.
21.
And I probably was like in the job for like a, and I might get the time wrong, so please do not Google this and try to
do,
like, facts. But I probably was there, like, 6-7 months.
Wow.
And it dropped. You heard him running, and he was asking for it. I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, like, you know, you start typing. And
where you at? Like, what was that like? You hear him breathing, running.
You're like, oh, crap. And when you hear this, you're like, oh, God, one of these calls. But then when he starts spitting it out, like, the one thing about that officer, whoever he was, he gave everything in detail. Wow. So he came straight on telling
his radio location. Etiquette was amazing.
It wasn't even radio etiquette. He was on a phone. He was on a cell phone.
Really?
So he didn't key up on a radio. He was on a cell phone. So he dialed into 911.
Wow.
He dialed into
Was he off duty?
He was off duty. He was off duty.
And got into something.
He dialed into 911. And so he automatically gave like the location. I'm here. And you have to ask him again just to make sure you have it right. And I'm here. And as soon as you get the location, the number one rule is he gave me the location. Then he actually was like, I am officer such and such, such and such. And gave me a sequence. And I need a signal 13. Mm. And I'm like, say that again. I'm officer such and such. This is my sequence. I need a signal 13. Okay, no problem. So you enter it, but then you also have to go over citywide. Mm-hmm. So we use these little intercoms. We so old school. Use these intercoms to call over the citywide, and you have to drop it like they would. You have to say like signal 13 at such and such, such and such. And you say it
and
twice.
You just typing it.
Yeah, you got to keep going. And you got to ask them what's going on. And it was like, whew. After I hung up, I was like, holy shit. Whew, I need a moment.
Yeah.
I was like, I need a moment.
Yeah,
like,
I got to go sit down for a little bit. Take a walk or something.
Wow.
Like, you got shootings, you got drug dealing, you know, you got these calls, you got domestics, but when that happened, now you know, like, somebody life, like, mm-hmm. you, and they are the ones, like, you do, like, not only the citizens out there, but for police, your job is to make sure they get home, too. So, it's not only for the dispatcher, it's for 911. So, when they call, you got to get this right. Because one, like I was saying, one mess up, you can cause complete chaos.
You got somebody's life in your hands.
Yes. Every day, I mean, every day, because like you said, you heard somebody giving CPR. So that's still somebody's life in your hand, and you're trying to revive them, or you're trying to keep them stable until medics come. But if you get that address wrong, or you don't get that apartment number, you delay service.
That's fine.
So you have to look at it in that sense of like, I always tell my new operators that come in, always look at it, am I helping or am I hindering? Mm. You always want to help. You never want to hinder. So if it's anything that you're doing that will actually hinder them getting the response out there or getting out there quick, you need to stop it. Whether it's shortcuts on your phone, you know, different crazy stuff. You need to stop it. Because what we're here is to do is actually save lives.
Wow.
Mm, I love that.
That's an art form.
It is.
Because you're doing it over the phone.
Not anybody could do that.
Nah, that's
tough. You
gotta
have a particular skill set to do that.
Absolutely.
That's hard.
It's like an imagination. You gotta be like there mentally with them.
It's hard because you know, we do it over the phone, mm-hmm. and we pray that we did enough.
Mm.
Everything that you're trained to do, we pray that we did enough.
Wow.
And the thing is, we never know what happens on the other end.
Right.
So they can, what we tell them not to do, they still do it anyway. Because, you know, people are people and they nosy and they want to know. They can query the call and see how it ended. But it still doesn't satisfy that part in your brain to say, did I do enough?
Right.
So, like, you go out there, you know, we send police out there. It can be a shooting or something. We send police out there. You get the whole thing. You see follow through when you come to the scene. You see when they go to the hospital. You get to know what happened afterwards. You know, homicide or whatever. With us, we never know. So that plays with your mind continuously. Because
it's like a cliffhanger.
Exactly. And we just finished talking about this too. You think about it. Like, we retire. Our retirement is at 31 years.
Wow.
So we have to actually be 911 specialists for 31 years in order to get a pretty halfway decent pension from the city. So you do this for 31 years and you think about every call that you would left hanging on that cliff. It's crazy because your mind starts to be like, you know what? I can't do this. And the crazy thing is that a lot of people has actually committed suicide behind it. So like
what?
PTSD in this profession is real. It is real. You never hear about it.
No, you never do.
But in 911 dispatching, it is real. PTSD is so real.
Wow.
Because you keep holding on to the fact of, did I do enough?
Have you ever seen that movie with, is it Antoine Fuqua film with Jake Gyllenhaal? He's a LA police officer who was suspended and then he had a dispatch calls. What was it? What, do you know the name of it, Chris?
I'll look it up. Yeah, but
so he's a cop, but like over there because they're short, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, but go ahead.
He becomes a dispatcher, but now he's dispatching a call of a woman who's kidnapped in the back of a trunk, I want to believe,
mm-hmm.
and like the dude is like, because he's a cop, he's like taking it to the next level as if he's on the street. It was insane.
Really?
Yeah, oh, it was insane.
So I'm glad you said that, because I had a call like that.
What?
Right, it was crazy, because it was one day I was working overtime.
Okay. And kidnapping?
Right. I was working overtime and I was in a seat that day. I wasn't up at supervisor's desk. And this is before I became director. Mm. And I had a call and it was a lady. And she was like, "Help, I'm in the trunk of the car." And I'm like, "Oh God, here they go, they playing again." Right? You know, like,
this ain't it. Come on.
Like, she was like, "No, I'm in the trunk of the car." I'm like, "Okay." So I was like, "Where was your last location?" So she told me her last location. And I was like, "Well, what kind of car are you in?" And she told me what kind of car she's in. And this was like right when, I don't know if anybody pays attention to your cell phone. But like your cell phone, when we actually started with cell phones, you was going through different phases. So it was like phase one, phase two. Phase one is where it was just getting off the tower, where your phone was just hitting off the tower. And this is very beginning, like earlier on in cell phones. And phase two was like you hit off the tower, but you can see it. Like, it was a little bit, it was more accurate than phase one. So, something just said, "Look." And I looked on my screen and I seen her. Like, I seen the ping on the screen on my map. And I was like, "Oh, okay." And so I was like,
"Of her?
Of her phone." Right.
Hey, get like, out of here. Call. Oh, shit.
So, I see the ping. And I'm like, "Oh, okay." So, I'm like, "So, where were you at, you know, when it happened?" And she told me, and I'm putting in the location. I'm putting in the car type, everything. And she was like, "These guys, they put me in the trunk of the car, and you hear music blasting, like you hear the music coming from." And I'm like, "Okay." So I'm looking on the screen so I can see where they're going. So I'm just typing up the location based off of the way the phone is going, like from pinging her.
Right.
Like the way the phone's going, I'm typing up the location, like letting dispatch know.
Getting units out there.
And they even stopped the car, took her out. And I told her, I was like, "Tuck your phone away. Like, just don't say nothing else. Tuck your phone away." I got her, make sure I got her name and stuff like that. But tuck your phone away so they don't know. Keep it open. Because she didn't know I could see her. Like, I could see the ping on the phone. So I was like, "Tuck your phone away and just don't say anything.
Just leave it open."
Right. So they took her out the car. You heard them asking, like, "Where is it? Where?" She's like, I don't know. And so they put her back in the trunk. And they started driving around some more. And so by this time, like, you had units coming, and they met them at President and Fayette. Because you seen them come down 83.
Right at headquarters.
Yep. Right at headquarters. You seen them come down 83.
Get the fuck out.
Met her right there at President and Fayette. And what they did was they made a left on the Fayette, so they going east.
Yes.
So they got up there past the post office. And all of a sudden you hear boom. And you heard a dispatcher say, "Sarge, they done hit the car." Police ran into the back of the car that she was in. So she's in the trunk. She in the truck.
And damn. Police hit the truck. Did they know she was in the truck?
Yes, they did. But oh, I guess I don't know if. So
who
you
the fuck did that?
So you heard it when the car was like, boom. And I was like,
"What the hell was that?"
And you heard that this was Sarge. They done hit the car. And I'm like, oh my goodness. God. But the car stopped. And the guys got out and they just ran. So they caught, I think it was like four of them. They caught three. And they pulled her out the trunk. And you heard it. And the phone was just open. And I just ended the call and that was it.
Nice.
Wow.
How'd you feel doing that?
I was like,
she good
like,
now.
Right. Yeah. I did some dope shit. Mm-hmm. That's how I really felt, because it was like using the map, and most people wasn't using the map right then and there at that moment, but it was like, it gave me the accuracy. Like, it gave me what I needed. Wow. So I was like,
That's dope.
So I was getting off that day. I got off like 6:30. That was early for me. And while I was at the elevator, I was like this. I was like so pumped.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
I was like pat my own self on the back.
Yeah, that feel good.
It did. That's
awesome.
Really did. Yeah. So.
Do you so you know we have now the health and wellness with the police.
Well,
is there something similar, or is that same thing on your side with 911 dispatch?
Health and wellness is real.
Yeah.
It is.
Seriously.
Like I just said, people are committing suicide behind the calls that you're taking. But it's deeper than that. Also, it comes with the abuse.
What do you mean?
The callers will abuse the hell out the call takers.
Mm.
The callers.
Really?
Will verbally abuse the call takers.
I never heard that before.
You must didn't ask no one.
No. I never knew it got to that level.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Crazy. Yes. It's like someone will call, and you just being professional. You, Baltimore City 911, what's the address of your emergency? Bitch, get them out here. And these are people. These are real life people.
Right, the people taking the call.
Right, these are real life people. You don't know what they're dealing with at home.
Right.
You don't know what they dealt with prior to taking your call.
Yep.
And some things like that are triggering for some people.
Yeah.
Especially if you home and you're getting verbally abused or if you got
domestic. Deal with shit at home anyway. Right. So you got to come to work and deal with
it. Bitch, just get them out here. Whoa. You know, like.
Get them out where?
Yeah. And that's what you want to say. Get them out where. But you can't because you know the line's recorded. So you have to remain professional. What's the address of your emergency? Then I just fucking say, look on your screen. You got my address.
It's that people think like they do the job. Look at your screen. How you know what our screen look like?
And you're like, you know what? You fucking stupid. You're dumb. That's why nobody fuck with the police now. You're like, what's the address? You know, like.
You're trying to get to the point.
You're trying to get to the point, but you have to remain professional. Right. And sometimes I've had people slip. The human side came out
they
of
come
them.
Out quick. Right.
Real quick. And it's not good.
Yeah.
Because you're the professional one. No matter what they're throwing at you.
You should be able to take it.
You should to a certain extent. Like sometimes it's just unbelievable. It's crazy. Like even if you're officers and you respond to somebody like that, enough is enough.
Are you able to just hang up a phone call?
No. No.
Even if a person is being extremely rude and cruel.
No. It's like you don't know if they really need help.
But that's how some people express themselves in emergency situations.
In real life, yeah.
When people go through things, you got different levels. So some people just express themselves that way. Everybody's been in a relationship. People sing. You've seen people want to sing. And it's like, ma'am, you don't have to cuss like that. But that's just how they're used to getting
this stuff. That's how they program.
Communicate.
Right. And some people don't know how to communicate. Mm-hmm. They do not know how to communicate well. So it comes out with a lot of cussing words. It comes out like verbally. And it's like, they call you different types of names. And it's like, oh, goodness. Or you might see someone and it's somebody just got shot. And they might just keep laughing. You know, because that's just their way. Of dealing with it, getting the message out. But yeah, when it comes down to that, they get verbally abused like a lot.
Daily.
And I don't know if anybody knows, but we take, you'll be surprised, we take almost 1.4 million calls a year for the city of Baltimore. That's just for the city of Baltimore.
Wow. 1.4 million calls?
Wow.
That's a lot of calls.
That's a lot of calls.
So you imagine how many calls you take in an 8-hour shift.
Right.
Right.
And just imagine hot summertime in Baltimore City.
Oh, yeah.
And just think the amount of calls that's not dispatched out to us that you got to deal with.
So they take both fire and they take fire, medic, and police. Mm. So they can take a shooting and deal with that shooting call. But then right after that goes, you probably have to start giving CPR to someone. You might have a baby who's not breathing.
Right.
And then you have to go take another drug call. And then you have to take another, like, somebody having a seizure.
Landlord-tenant dispute.
Right, you might have somebody who having a seizure or a house fire or something.
You said something about, like, an amputee or something like that?
Yep. Actually, yep. We can actually tell you how to, like, preserve your, like, your finger if you cut it off. We can tell you how to secure the building. If it's on fire, we can deliver babies.
During, like, the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get their hands blown off.
Yeah, we can tell you, like, if you actually have them, we can tell you how to actually, like, save them for when they get to the hospital, they can possibly sew them back on. Like, these are things that the 911
put it on ice, right? That's what it is, right?
Yeah, you put it on ice, milk, whatever. No, I'm just saying milk. I'm messing with you. But no, the milk comes with overdoses. People, I don't know why people think giving people milk is going to help.
I don't know why.
But that's an old, I don't know.
I think that might be a meme. That might be a meme.
Right. Give them some milk.
Give them some milk. I don't know why, but no, when it comes down to the job that they do, it's stressful.
Yeah.
It is. It's very stressful because, like I said in the very beginning, you never know what you're going to get.
Right.
It's like what Forrest Gump said, life is a box of chocolates. You never know.
What you're going to get.
Right. You when that call come in, you never
know. You just got to take it.
And some of them take calls from family members.
Wow.
How's that?
Wow.
That's hurtful.
Wow.
And you got to remain professional and guide them accordingly.
Yeah, because most specialists are born and raised in the city.
A lot of them.
And now it's like their uncle's calling.
Yep. Their uncle's calling, their grandmother, or their cousin's calling for the grandmother. I've even had, like, one of my supervisors had to call for her husband. Or, you know, like, it's...
Damn.
It all depends because a lot of them are born, raised in Baltimore, or just have family in Baltimore in itself. So when things happen and you're working,
yeah,
or you might hear it You might hear someone on a call with it, and then you might get a phone call.
At the same time.
You hear the address.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know the address.
You hear the address, and they be like, wait a minute, hold it. My cousin live there. Or, wait a minute, hold it, my son lives there. Like,
do you take them away from there, or you allow them to stay there and listen?
No.
Always remove them.
Yeah, you have to. Wow. That's one thing you never want to hear.
Yeah.
Some people want to for whatever reason, but that's you would never want to hear that. Because once you hear it, you can't forget it.
Exactly.
It remains in you.
Embedded in you. Mm.
Think about it. When y'all go out there and y'all see some stuff, some things you can't change. Mm. You wish, you like, I wish I never seen that. Because you can't change that image.
Yeah.
When you hear that call, especially when it's dealing with a family member, you can't change that. So the health and wellness piece is real. So what happened is we do a 911 diversion, behavioral crisis diversion pilot in 911, where we divert anybody who's experiencing a crisis, a behavioral crisis. We divert them to 988, which is the actual Maryland mental health crisis hotline. So we divert them there, and they actually speak to clinicians, real live clinicians.
Nice.
They get it off of us. And it keeps police from responding if you're not certified, if you're not trained. And they'll also, depending on what the call is, they'll send out a mobile crisis response team. So with that, we're going to actually put clinicians in the call center.
That's awesome.
So it's going to be behavioral crisis clinicians in the call center. So it's not for the caller. It's also for the workers.
Right.
Because they need someone to talk to.
Real time.
They need someone to air this out to sometimes.
You know what? And it helps both sides of the game because all the time police will get responded to that. That wasn't best trained, and they can make that situation worse because they wasn't prepared to deal with that individual.
Exactly.
So it takes the load off.
Exactly.
Which is great.
Yeah, and that came with the DOJ. The consent.
The consent decree.
Yep, the consent decree. Yep, that came down with that. And actually, we've been doing this for 3 years, and it's been really successful. We got an award for it and everything. Like, on a Maryland level, we got the award for it. And actually, I went to Harvard.
Get out of here.
I did.
Look at you.
Wow. I went to Harvard based off of the 911 alternative response.
Wow.
Of like actually bringing in other response mechanisms in and not just utilizing your police and fire for everything.
Exactly. And that's perfect because they specialize in that.
Yeah. Right.
And they could be used accordingly.
Exactly.
Would you say like Baltimore City is the 911 center? Is it the busiest in the whole state?
It is.
Wow.
I wouldn't say it is, but it really is. No, it really
is. Oh, it really is.
It really is. So we compare Baltimore City, whenever I'm sitting there talking, like city council or whatever meeting I'm in, I always compare Baltimore City 911 center to D.C. Because we're creeping up on almost the same amount of calls that D.C. handles.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, D.C. and Baltimore is pretty much the same.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you think about it, who's smaller?
Baltimore.
Right.
Especially per capita.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. So for us to handle that amount of calls.
Right.
That's crazy.
1.4 million?
That's crazy.
Insane. for our little island.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you guys make it look easy.
It is not.
No, you make it look easy. You make it look easy because it's so, you guys are so well trained and.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
For sure.
Well, thank you.
I think we both need to get paid more on the police.
Absolutely. I think everybody in the city needs to get paid
like,
more.
Like, yo, for the next year, like, yo, up that bag up, man.
Because we out here
100%.
Working.
We need to run that bag up. Like, right. For real. Give us some of that offer fund.
Yes, let me. We more than deserve.
Give us some offer, right?
Right.
Give us some for offer real. Money
Come
over
on,
here.
Come on, man.
Yes. I know that 911 call takers as well as dispatchers, whether if it's for dispatcher, for fire or police, we all need more.
Absolutely.
Because of what we do and the things that we deal with on a daily. A lot of people don't know, like, technology in 911 is pretty dope. And that's where I come in at. Like, I introduce a lot of different technology to 911.
Nice.
And right now we can do text messages. So you can do text the 911, and you don't have to call in. So we can have a whole call based off a text message.
That works for like the girl that's in the trunk.
Yep, that works for the girl that's in the trunk. But then another thing is we do pictures and videos. Real time.
Really?
Real time. Y'all didn't know that.
That's dope.
I know. So like I can call 911 right now. Like if I was actually in the city, I can call 911 right now and they can send me a link to take over the camera. So on my phone.
You dial 911 through a text?
You can. You can dial 911 through a text, or I can just call.
Okay.
And depending on what the situation is, they might say, hey, do you mind if I send you a link so I can see what you're talking
real
about?
Real time, what's going on?
So I can see real time.
Oh, so like you're FaceTiming?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you FaceTime. Yep. Wow. Like you see how my phone is? Like, this is the caller. I can take their screen and I can flip it. So I'll take control of their camera. I can flip it. I can see everything.
That is so dope.
What?
Yes. Yes,
that
I can
is
take
so
screenshots
dope.
Of it.
Just like, to see what exactly is going on, how I could guide you accordingly.
There you go.
Because a lot of times they can't describe it, you know, because they're too busy cursing.
But we send four or five officers that doesn't need to be sent to that address. For what? Something that's so minute? We never had that capability before. We just had to arrive on scene, you know, decipher
in
what
the
we
blind.
Got, code it accordingly.
Yep, there you go.
And keep it moving.
But now we can do things like that. That's that next level, which is what we call next gen 911, next generation 911, and that's where we're going
that
with it.
That is so dope.
As far
how many
as,
other departments are on that?
So we was the first one in Maryland.
What?
Yeah, that's the first for the city? We're the last in that?
First one. Normally when it comes down to technology, as far as 911, everybody comes to Baltimore City 911 to pilot.
Get out of here.
Software. See, y'all, you know what I
mean? Are you serious?
Because of the calls we handle and how big.
Oh,
well, of course
so
it
much.
Makes sense. But we was always in the Stone Age as far as technology goes.
Not 911.
Not no more.
Mm-mm. No.
Well, exactly. Not 911.
Not 911. But they will actually say, and that's how they sell their product. Mm. Oh, Baltimore City has it. Baltimore City uses it. And people look at it like, oh, that's
damn,
the type
good
of
for them.
If it's good for them.
Because we know what they go through.
Yeah, we need that.
Exactly.
Need that, right.
No, for real. Like, really.
That's real shit, yeah.
That's how a lot of people take it and spin off of it. If Baltimore City got it, oh, yeah, we going to get it. Mm. Let me look into this. So we are, like, the first with a lot of technology and things when it comes down to knowledge.
That's so dope.
Mm-hmm.
So has health and, health and wellness helped a lot of workers?
Not so much of your health and wellness. Because what we are, you know, we're fire department. We're fire department. We're under the fire department realm. We take 911 calls inside that building. But a lot of them just leave us as, they're fire department personnel. Mm-hmm. So they kind of forget about 911. So when it comes down to dispatch, who's under police, they get a lot of the stuff from health and wellness. But it's across the board. Yeah. It's like, hey, no matter who.
It should be,
right.
We all in the same umbrella.
Yep. Yeah, same.
Fight. Same umbrella.
Absolutely.
From top to bottom.
Right.
Like, you should actually get it. And whenever you're dealing with like major calls, it should be where you touch every aspect of their call. Whoever dealt with it from the very beginning to the very end.
Right.
Like, somebody should be coming, checking on them.
Absolutely.
Talking to them.
Yes.
But fire department do have chaplains. We do have our own SISM team inside 911.
Mm-hmm.
So if something happened, we know.
What's SISM?
Critical incident stress management.
Oh, really?
So we have our own. So we will actually, if something happened, they will come in. And these are their peers.
Gotcha.
These are actually 911. So they'll come in, they'll talk to them. They, you know, will have that one-on-one time with them when it comes down to different things. So, yeah. Or the supervisors will step in. Like, I have really dope supervisors who come in, step in, talk to the person. Yeah, but dope. Health and wellness is real because...
That's essential, man. Seriously.
The job that we do, and people don't understand, like I said, the things that it takes to carry out a 911 call.
Right.
And because if we get, like I said, once again, we get it wrong, chaos on your end.
Absolutely.
So we have to get it right every single time, but human error sinks in.
Absolutely.
Where sometimes you don't get it right, but the thing is, you want to get it right. You
right.
should want to. So you want to cross all your T's, dot all your I's when it comes to it.
Mm.
And that's just a stress mechanism also. You got that weight on you. You're carrying it.
Yeah.
How do you feel for dispatchers that have you ever dealt with dispatchers that are not upbeat like you was at that time and just rude?
Oh, yes.
Do you think that's, what is that? is it just them, their personality? And has that rectified? Because dealing with a snotty dispatcher, it's like, oh shit, she's working today. Oh my goodness. Like, we deal with that too. So it makes our job 10 times harder because we already know he or she's gonna be an asshole. And not only we gotta deal with the calls, but we gotta deal with a snotty ass dispatcher. Then, check it. Then you gotta worry about, am I gonna get off on time? Is this motherfucker gonna send me to a
Wait, they sound like you're talking from personal.
No, I'm just saying.
You got one in mind.
Or they gonna send me to a shooting, knowing I gotta get off in 10 minutes. So, how was that from your experience? You know, I mean, listen, you're a boss now. So at that ground level, you've seen it. I'm curious. What do you think about that? Has that changed?
No. It's not going to change because people are people.
Mm-hmm.
People are people what environment you put them in. People are going to be people. Normally, some people are the same way that they're on the outside. They come on the inside and portray that exact person.
Mm.
And if they're nasty on the outside, when they sit in the seat and take the call,
it's only going to be the same thing.
I'm only going, and they think it's, I'm keeping it real. I'm only going to be me. Nah, this ain't for you.
Right.
No. Because you set the tone.
Right.
And if you're setting the wrong tone, you lost your caller already. No matter what. And I don't care if we do know the person or we don't know the person. You should always have some type of level of empathy
mm-hmm.
when they're calling. Because just imagine if you get someone and they don't have empathy. It's like, why are you even here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I even talking to you?
And if you don't do anything about that individual, that's a reflection of supervision, ain't it?
It's a reflection of not only supervision, it's a reflection of your agency.
Yeah, bingo.
Because that's when people say, my experience with 911 wasn't good, and now I don't want to call 911 ever again.
Bingo, right.
And you're like, wait a minute, hold it. I need to change that narrative. I need you to call because I need my job, right, mm-hmm. first off. But also, if you ever in an emergency, I don't want you to feel like you can't call.
Right.
Because of that situation. So, yeah, that's one of the things that we kind of try to drill in people as far as that level of customer service.
Absolutely.
As far as providing it to people. I don't care, and I tell people, you got an imaginary can outside their door. You drop all your problems inside their can. Because when you come here, it's something. Come inside.
Right.
You have to be that different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to turn it on, turn it off.
Yep, and I don't care when you go on break, you pick that stuff out the can, you take your can home, your mess, because I don't want your mess staying here.
Right.
You take it and you go with it. But like, no, you have to. You have to be able to shift from whatever you're dealing with on home, outside, to when you get there and you're handling that call. Because that's like, no, like you cannot be that person. You set the tone.
Right.
Well, y'all have some amazing customer service because I've heard the toughest thugs calling y'all, telling y'all everything.
Absolutely.
I need y'all here.
Well, good.
Then when we show up, they're like, nah, we ain't even called y'all. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, the narrative changed. The narrative changed.
They call y'all for everything.
Right? When, like, you out on that street, you're tough, right?
Yeah.
Badass Tony, you doing whatever. You out here calling help.
Blood is squirting out.
Exactly, but I would say, but when you're shot, something totally different. You hear that trembling in the voice. You be like, I felt that teardrop.
That gangster ain't coming out no more.
Or when that baby mother did some dirty stuff to you, did something wrong to you, and you're like, now, oh no, like I brought that bitch everything. I did everything for her. And it's like, ooh, you hurt. Like,
it hurt like that.
Like, you big man, right?
You know what's crazy? And that's why I always talk about our profession, is that one, like you said, you know, when you're shot, we know that you out there, you probably shot other people, but we're still here, and we're still going to take care of you. We're still going to
give you show that empathy,
and we're still going to, you know what I mean? Because you're human, even though you choose to do whatever you do. But they forget that, though. But the beautiful thing about it is that we never do, though.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the difference.
You took an oath, protect and serve, right?
Yeah.
Despite protect and serve. So it's like, I don't care what you were doing prior to this. If it takes me saving your life, I'm going to have to do what I have to do to save your life. And we'll worry about that other stuff later.
Yeah.
But right now it's about your life.
I just wish they would remember that. And you know what I mean? Like, how much better will the world be if they remember that?
It'd be a lot better.
yeah.
in some aspects as far as the level of disrespect that they right. portray to officers.
Right.
Because just like whatever they're out there doing, they have to feed their family. You have to feed yours.
Absolutely.
It's just that y'all chose two different career paths. Y'all chose right. two different, you know, professions. Well, lifestyles. If they want to be a professional shoplifter or a professional drug dealer, that's, hey, that's it is do. What it is.
Yeah.
Do you? But when I have to come out here and do my job, don't be mad.
Right.
Because this is the job that I set out
to do. When you called us.
Right. When you called us, right? This is the job that I set out to do. Don't be mad. You accept the service and keep it moving.
That's it.
So.
Being at your title where you're at now, do you, how does it, have you, do you feel being at that main level and moving up, do you feel you've made a difference? Do you feel as though you changed some of the things you didn't like when you was at that level? And how do you feel moving forward, being at that director position? Do you feel you still inspire? Do you still have the love? Is it exciting to go to work? How do you feel about everything that you've come across in your career at, what, 22 years on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you make those changes that you didn't like back then? And those particular changes, how it affects everybody in a good way?
Right. So one another thing that I always say, if you have the ability to create change, create it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm at a spot where I have the ability to create change. So anything that I feel like, no, this got to, no, this, I don't like this, or I didn't like it then, it's still not working now, let's tweak it.
Right.
Let's figure it out. The biggest thing is not everybody's going to agree with your change.
Mm.
Everybody's not. You know, hey, it's my change. It's what I feel like is going to make.
It's effective
the,
change.
Right. It's what I feel like is going to make this job right, work for the good. Some right. people are not going to agree with it. Mm-hmm. But I look at it at the end of the day, if I'm able to go to sleep at night.
Mm.
And I didn't do anything that goes against my core values.
Yes, morally.
Then I'm good.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think about those call takers because I was there once.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I feel what makes like, it easier.
And I feel like if anybody else was in this position, you would want somebody who actually came from
this position.
That position.
You know what works.
Up.
Right.
Because you can speak the same language they're speaking.
Absolutely.
And you can create the change that you know they want.
Right.
So like I said, some people might feel like I don't move fast enough or I don't listen to them. But on the back end, the position that I sit in is political in some aspects.
It is.
I have all eyes. I have a lot of eyes on me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just say, hey, yeah, we're going to give you a $5,000 raise tomorrow. No, it's not that
simple. You got to play chess correctly.
And you do, especially Baltimore City. I have, not only do I have like my fire chief to answer to, I have to be standing in front of city council. Mm. I have to stand in front of the state sometimes because the state funds a lot of stuff that comes from, comes into 911. So I have to stand in front of the state. I have to give reason and explanations on why I'm doing this and just make sure things go smoothly.
And why you're asking for this.
Exactly. But people don't see it because they're not in this position.
No, yeah.
And I was never the one to play the political game whatsoever. I'm like, keep me away from city council. And mm-hmm. But now that I'm here, it's like, nah, I need them because they're my mechanism sometimes to create the change that I need.
Absolutely.
Right. I'm glad I have the platform, the voice.
Amazing.
To voice what's needed. And I have no problem telling people if we're not doing it right.
Right.
I don't have any problem telling people that we're getting it wrong or we're failing. I had to stand up in front of what we do with city stats. And they was looking at my stats as far as 911, the answer times, and how many people, like people say I was put on hold and how long we was waiting. And I told them, we're failing. We're failing the citizens of Baltimore because of the fact that I don't have the staffing. And what does that look like? I need everybody on board to get me people in here.
To where we need to be.
If that means fire department, we need to do a mass hiring. DHR, you got to actually filter these applications in quicker. City council, if I ask for more money, you got to give me more money to help pay these people to sit in the right. seat. Like, I need everybody. It's a working system.
Mm.
We can bring the people in, but if we're not giving them anything on the back end to make them stay, like the retention.
Retention.
Right.
That's across the board.
The retention. And that's what you need. You want right. people to actually make this a career.
Yes.
I don't need people to
not sit. A stepping stone.
Right. I don't need people. I mean, it's good if some people say, hey, I'm coming to 911 and then I'm a branch over the police. I'm a branch over the fire. That's really good.
Because you're staying under the umbrella.
Right. But I don't need people to be like, hey, I'm coming in for 2 years. We train you. We think we got a good person. And then you're leaving to go somewhere else because now I'm one short. The incident, 1.4 million calls.
Right.
So I have been working to the bare bone over these last several months. It's probably going on a year. And it's hurting. It's hurting not only 911, but it's hurting the citizens. Mm. And that's not fair. Because when they call, they're supposed to get a level of service. Mm. They shouldn't get that. Your call is important to you. I should please stay on the line. You know, they shouldn't get that. Yeah. They should actually be able, they should be getting the person. Mm. And they shouldn't have to be in queue. Right. As long as they're in queue. But like I said, the shortage is real.
To be fair, that's all over the country right now.
It is.
It's all over the country.
It is. But people don't want to hear that they in don't. A time of emergency.
No.
But it's all over the country.
And what happens in all agencies, whether it's fire department or police department, it affects us because it causes callbacks. So police don't respond in time.
Right.
That person gonna call back.
Yeah.
They're gonna call back every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes. So, you know, and that it's means there's more people, Or when police, if no medics are available. So if no medics are available, they'll send either engine or truck out there to go there, check the patient out, make sure they're good, because most engines or truck fire engines or fire trucks have somebody that has advanced life support or have basic life support on it. So they can do small things, right? For that person. But if not, they're going to keep calling back. The medic's not here. Where's the medic? So you think about it.
And it's a lot to bring. It's a process to get that big ass engine out of that firehouse.
Absolutely.
To handle a fucking call.
A medical call. A small minute
call.
So
it's a lot of work that goes
that big ass engine, those small ass blocks, that's a lot. Then they got to go back and take an hour, 2 hours to park that big motherfucker.
Yeah. Right, it takes three dudes just to put it in reverse.
Hell yeah. That's a lot.
You know, it's crazy.
That's a lot. Yeah, but I get it.
It's a lot. It takes a lot for one call.
Yeah.
And I tell people.
And that's why, this platform, people need, everyone needs to understand what it takes to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy.
No.
It's not easy.
No, it's not. And if anybody tell you that it's easy, I'm like, show me.
Right. They've never done it.
Well, especially in Baltimore City.
Especially Baltimore City.
Especially in Baltimore. Now, some counties where they don't get any calls. They work with one operator and the person not only take the call, but they dispatch.
Right.
So if they're doing both, they only take probably we took 200 calls today. If that.
Right.
And I'm like, 200, one of my people just took 200 calls in an 8-hour shift, right? So it's like, nah, it's not easy.
It's not easy.
It never gets easy. Mm. Even the position I'm sitting in, it's not easy.
Right.
Well, you're doing a phenomenal job.
Oh, well, thank you.
For sure.
Thanks.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
You really are, because.
What do you see for the future? How are things looking from your optics?
As far as 911 or just...
The city with 911.
I see us actually striving. We're in a good place. I mean, as far as the technology, mm-hmm. we're in a good place as far as technology and taking it to the next level for the citizens. But what I need actually, like I said, I need the people in the seats.
Nice.
I need the bodies. I need people that's going to be committed to... being 911 operators. I need that piece.
What's
that
the recruitment? Push. Is it a 21-year-old? Or?
18 years or older.
Right.
1 year customer service.
Okay.
High school diploma or GED.
Okay.
That's it. That's all. Long as you can read, write, type, that's it. That's all.
Train them.
And we train you.
So tell everybody that's listening, there's a lot of kids that need direction, don't know what they want to do. Why is 911 a good spot for them? And why they should come in the city and serve that purpose.
Mm, I'm glad you said that.
Director Tania, let them know.
That's one of my end games. Mm. It is. For the children. I mean, not even children, just in general. Just
the young adults.
The individuals.
The young adults.
Yeah.
It's a good start. It really is. It's a really good start. You're starting off with 48,000 a year.
Nice.
You're coming in paying into a pension. you're getting
medical. Big difference. You're, pension. Right. Big difference.
You're getting 401k.
You're
18, right? 18?
Yeah, 18. Yeah, nice. You're getting medical.
18 making 48,000?
You're getting medical benefits. You're getting vacation. You're getting sick leave. But not only that, if you think about it and you think about Baltimore City, most 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds don't make 48,000.
That's a fact.
So if you're 18 years old and you're making 48,000, think about what you're setting up for your next generation. Mm. You're actually taking people out of poverty.
You're ahead of the game.
Absolutely.
Exactly, which comes with the benefits of, because you work for the city, first-time home buyers, you get a lot of perks for buying a home in the city.
That's a fact.
Like that. Then also, because you're a 911 special, we do the property tax, where we pay your property tax if you own your home in the city.
Yes.
Right, so it's a lot of perks that come along.
A lot of programs that help, yes.
So one of my end games is, and that's before I drop the mic and walk away from my position in Baltimore City, I want to take 911 platform and put it in school systems.
Nice.
Same thing as like, so you dope. See ROTC or you see the EMS.
They go get them early, yes.
So you actually so take this whole, my whole, which y'all see in the call center, I take that to the school system and we teach them.
Nice.
We teach them the ins and outs and how to take calls. So when they actually graduate, they can
right
transition.
There.
That's a trade.
Quick transition.
They can transition.
Yes.
In. And I mean, even if they use that as a stepping stool.
It's okay.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And you think about it, because not everybody is geared up for college.
Absolutely.
And you have a skill set.
Yeah. Not everybody wants to go to college.
Yeah. And that's so true. Especially nowadays. Look at
that's
the country.
Beautiful.
Come on now.
So why not? But then also it looks at it like the technology. It's more on their level. Because, you know, most of these kids nowadays are cell phones, iPads.
They've been texting since they were three. Yeah.
Exactly. So when you think about the technology, the mapping, that I need you to use this technology. I want you to use it.
Absolutely.
I want you to make it better.
Absolutely.
They don't understand that. Like, a lot of people, you tell them about the mapping and what's GIS. They're like, I don't know what that is. They like, this is the mapping, the coordinates, the way buildings are set up. Like, I don't know that. But these are different avenues that you can get into.
By doing in this field.
Yeah.
So it opens so much opportunity.
Yes,
it does. It can open so much opportunity, especially for the younger ones in Baltimore City. And it also keep you on a straight and narrow. Like, you wouldn't get in trouble because, no, I got to keep my background clean because I'm trying to be 911. I'm trying to be a dispatcher.
No, I can't hang out late.
I can't smoke weed.
No.
I can't do that because I got to take this drug test.
Yeah.
You know, like, I see potential for myself.
My credit score. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could be prepared for life.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
You really can. So I reach out every year. We bring youth workers in.
Nice.
Every year, I'm one of the ones who house youth workers.
Nice.
And at the end of this program, they always say, what was your favorite part of your youth work, your summer? Mm-hmm. And they always say 911. Because we have them paired up with 911 specialists.
Yeah, you always bring them through, all the kids.
Yeah.
I see them
at the end of we normally have them for like a week.
Right.
It's a whole bunch of them. So we normally, every week, they go to a different section in the fire department. And at the end of that week, they have to take a call.
Mm.
I don't care if it's a callback or it's an actual call.
Take
someone
a call.
Someone be nervous.
Get some live action.
But they love it. And last year, I actually had them sitting on the interview panel for us to take... for newcoming hirees. They were sitting on an interview panel. And I was like, no, because you're going to have to take it. You're going to have to do an interview.
Yeah.
You are 15, 16. You're going to have to know how. Like, talk to somebody face to face. And when I tell you, they actually wasn't on their phones. They were writing down the notes of what people were saying. They
That's
was asking
awesome.
Questions.
Wow.
They was engaged. I'm like, see, this is all it takes to
That's
really
it.
Get these youth excited. You have to put them in that environment.
In that environment.
Right. Remove them from what they used to know. You
exactly.
know, what they're comfortable with. Take off your hoodies, because all of them had on hoodies.
Right.
Take your hoodie off.
Yeah.
Sit up straight.
Yeah.
Put your phone down and have that conversation with these people.
Yeah.
So they was on a panel like this with some supervisors, and they was reading the questions, writing the answer down, and they was like, wow.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
They was like, so this is how you're supposed to dress for an interview? Yes.
Absolutely.
This is how you're supposed to dress. This is how you're supposed to look. So they were really, really engaged. And I was just like, you know what? We're doing something right. And everybody who had those youth workers on their panels, they was like, that was a good idea. I enjoyed working with them. I was like, we need to do more with them
That's
get them engaged. So
awesome. Thank you for your time.
That was beautiful.
That meant everything.
Oh.
You know That's what? That's something that the world is not getting on a regular basis. Look at this platform. Look at what we're giving you. She's a director for 911. That's huge. From the ground up, she's been there and done that. So, I mean, look at that. Is there any shout outs you like to give out before we wrap up?
Oh, really? I get to shout out?
Yes, go shout out. Shout it all out.
So, really, it's not even shout outs. It's just like, thank you.
Thank you.
Would never thought I'd be sitting here on your podcast.
I appreciate you.
I would thank, of course, my family 100% for the support.
Mm-hmm.
Family, friends.
But, Mom Deuce.
But my team, for real. The team, they're the real heroes. It's not me.
You got a strong team.
For real. It's them. Yeah. It's and it's not even my team. It's actually just the Baltimore City team.
Wow.
From call takers to police dispatch to fire dispatch to DPW dispatch to 311 call takers, because it takes a team to make that work.
Yeah.
And one call can touch every aspect of those people that work. So it's a shout out to you guys. You making it happen. I'm just here. I work for you. That's how I always tell them. I work for you.
Mm. That's amazing.
That's dope.
Wow. Peoples. We love you. We appreciate you. I want to thank my sister, Tania, for coming out. Listen, it means everything. What she does, she makes our lives easier, for dispatchers' lives easier, for going out and dispatching these calls for service and doing everything. That's perfect. And it's good to know somebody that's on the front line with you, that's serving the way they're supposed to serve, the right way. If things need to be implemented, she's gonna get it done. She's been there and done that. Over 22 years. We're not getting this nowhere else. Dre.
Peace and love. Thank you.
Triple C.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
My people, Silverback Chronicles Podcast, we love you. We appreciate you. Please continue to tell a friend to tell a friend. We're here to stay forever. We love y'all. Be safe. Enjoy your weekend. See you next week. Peace.
The views and opinions expressed on the Silverback Chronicles podcast are those of the hosts, producers, and or the guest appearing on the program. They do not reflect the views and opinions of the federal, state, or local government. This includes but not exclusive to the Department of Defense, Homeland, and the Baltimore City Police Department. The Silverback Chronicles podcast with Dre, Big H, and Triple C. Hit the subscribe button, like, and comment.